Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 13th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to talk with our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. We're going to get to know Jake and Connor and some of the gang from there. Right now, though, we have in studio with us our great friends from Savor the Arts. First, we have Executive Director Sally Kistner with us. Sally, always good to see you.
You as well.
And we have with us from the ODC, Ann Lepek. Ann, it's good to see you.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for sneaking in here and everything. Oh, more on why you're here in just a little bit. But we want to welcome, first off, joining us not only in town here very soon, but the great comedian Jeff Allen is on the phone with us right now. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, man. This is really great time to be talking, man.
Really, it really is. And really do appreciate you coming to town, Jeff.
I don't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning. It's a great time.
Right. Anytime. Jeff is going to be in town at the end of the month here, everybody, Friday, January 31st. We'll tell you how you can get tickets and more in just a little bit. But before we start off, Jeff, I do this thing whenever we first get to talk to somebody. I like to get their origin story, a little bit about them. And that's not just because we're both from Chicago. It's not just, although journalistically I should mention that, but I did want the audience to get to know you a little bit, Jeff, so tell us a little about yourself.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm 68 years old, which I got, you know, which means I have my Medicare card, so I've lived a full life. They didn't say it was going to be there when I hit 65, but I started comedy in Chicago in 1978. And we live in Nashville, my wife and I. We have four grandchildren and two sons and two daughter-in-laws, I guess. They're still together, which is good. And I'm probably busier than I've ever been because of dry bar comedy. The audience can, if they're not familiar with me, can certainly Google me on dry bar or go to Amazon Prime. I have a couple specials on there that they can look at. That's mm-hmm. it. Just working around.
Yeah. You know? Jeff, who are some of your influences? What got you to want to tell, to be a comedian? What got you into that world?
Oh, it was cheaper than therapy, you know?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I would sit with a therapist and all he did was laugh at me. And I said, you know what? I don't need to pay you for this. I think I should go on the road.
You're going to make him laugh. Might as well make a living at it. Might as well, yeah.
It was so funny. I saw a comic. My brother was a musician when I was 16. He was working a club in Chicago, and some comedians opened for him. And I remember thinking, man, wouldn't that be the coolest job to go up and do that? And it was like, you know, it's not like they have a table set up on career day in high school, you know, mm-hmm. stand-up comic. So anyway, years later, I was working for a jewelry company, and somebody said, let's go to a comedy club. And I said, what's that? And I ended up going to my first comedy club. And that was it. You know, I didn't know I'd ever make a living at it. I just wanted to try it and see if I could do it. I was awful. I mean, really awful, like cringeworthy awful for the longest time. I had a club owner tell me after about a year, he goes, you know, you'll never make any money at this. that kind of, you know, I have the kind of personality. It was like, yeah, okay, well, we'll see about that, buddy. You know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So regardless of the fact that I slept on people's floors for years and never really made any money, I showed him, right?
You know? Yeah.
And I think he passed away before I started making money.
Of course. Isn't that the way?
My revenge tactic didn't really work.
What I appreciate, Jeff, is not only you sharing that with us, thank you for that, but one of the things that Sally and I like to do when we have guests on is we have a lot of creatives out there listening and a lot of kids in our community and everything. It can be so invigorating, inspiring for them, as you know, I know from just from the acting world and that, and radio, really. But as you know, as a comedian, when you are getting into these worlds, there isn't really necessarily a blueprint on how to make it or who makes it or some of those things. To hear those stories, those early struggles, I think really can help people getting through those moments themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting into any of the arts to be rich and famous, good luck. Mm. I mean, if that's your goal. I just really wanted to do good work. And looking at my journey, you know, starting at 22 and then getting married at 30, 31, I always kind of worked inside out. It really was kind of therapeutic for me, whatever, you know, and I'm an alcohol. I'm a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. I mean, 38 years I've been sober. But you know, those early years, you know, you're working a bar and you have a drinking problem, and so I talked a lot about that. And you know, some people relate to that, most people don't. You know, and then I got married and started talking about my wife and kids and stuff. And then some point in my 30s, I realized I was an uneducated moron, and I started educating myself. You
know? Something about our 30s. Me too. Me too, man. Yeah, it was definitely in my early 30s.
I remember thinking, I'm an idiot, and here I am on stage trying to make a living with words, and I really, I don't have a very large vocabulary. I think I graduated high school with a fourth grade vocabulary based on the testing. So anyway, it was, and then I started reading, and so I always tell young comics, this is, you know, parents will come to me, my son wants to be a comedian. I said, read and read and read and read and read. Don't just listen and watch YouTube videos. Grab everything you can from People Magazine to Dante to whatever you can find in between. Those are your references. That's where you draw life, because you're not talking about anything new as a stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, Ecclesiastes talks about that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So what you're trying to do is figure out a way to express things in your own voice and in your own point of view of and not let the audience know that they've heard this topic 700 times in their life, you know. So it has to be unique from your point of view. And I really didn't hit my stride till I was almost 40 when I really cleaned my show up. It allowed me, I got a thesaurus out. My son got caught cussing at his teacher in fourth grade. And I said to the teacher when we got called in, I'd love to look you in the eye with a straight face and tell you I have no idea where that child heard that kind of language. But unfortunately, that's the way my wife and I talk at home. And driving home, my wife said, we need to clean up. This is unbecoming. When you hear it come out of your children's mouth, you know, it's really, it's a reflection on you as a parent. So I got a thesaurus out and started working my routines and seeing if I could clean them up. And it actually made me better at what I do. So,
and I want to kind of piggyback off of that, if you don't mind, Jeff, because I think you're an incredible comedian and very good at what you do. And I would say that years ago. But this growth, this change with your comedy, as you're kind of touching on here, and I want to direct people to jeffallencomedy.com, jeffallencomedy.com, and encourage you to check that out, not only to hear some of this man's great comedic mind, but there's a testimony on here. And if I could just read a line from it: who I was is not who I am. Today, I choose to walk a different path. I was doing my homework for the interview, Jeff, and I came across that, and it stayed with me, man. Growing up, my father was addicted to heroin the majority of my life. It's only been in the last 20 years that my dad has been clean and sober and just been his normal, weird self, who I love so much. I grew up with this. I grew up not just with him, but with a lot of kids in my neighborhood and stuff, and even to this day, seeing people struggling with these things. And we cannot have enough examples of people getting out the other side. Enough examples of people being brave and vulnerable in sharing these stories, sharing what it was like for them and the light at the end of the tunnel, and to be able to do it with a comedic way of doing that. I think that that's, first off, one of the best ways that people register information is when you're not talking down to them but trying to make them laugh. Whether you make them laugh or not, they seem to register this information a lot more. But for you in doing this, I have to ask, what was it like in the beginning of that shift for you? Because I imagine there were people who were supportive and people who might not have been.
Well, I was angry. I really was. The cap came off. Whatever I used alcohol for, it came off, and this rage came out. And I was really just spewing a lot of bile for a number of years. I had, my wife occasionally would come out and watch a show, and more often than not, she'd leave in tears. She'd look at me and go, you must hate me. By the way, I talked about her on stage. And it was a process of just trying to get comfortable in my own skin. I started drinking at 13 or 14. I just wrote a book about it. But my sister called me, and she was in tears. And she said, I didn't realize that you started drinking so young. You know, she was a couple years older than me. And I said, well, we had our own lives. You know, when you're teenagers, you just kind of go in your own directions. You don't pay attention, you know. And So it was a process of learning, one, to not believe the lies, because when you have I call it the beast, a beast like alcoholism, the beast will lie to you constantly that you can't make it, you can't live your life without me, you can't, you know, you're going to slip, you're going to. So I went to those 12-step rooms, and they kept me alive. I mean, they gave me hope, that's for sure. I would see people hear their stories without the stories, you know, and this is kind of what Jesus talked about before he left the earth. He said, go be, make disciples. And in other words, tell your testimonies of what I've done, you know, what the Holy Spirit has done for you, you know, and in those rooms, it wasn't about so much faith as it was just looking at guys, and they would tell you the depths of where they had gone and been, and you're looking at them today, and they're clear-eyed, and their marriages are together and everything. And I would leave there and just go, I want that. I don't know why I can't seem to get it myself. It took me a long time to get the company. I'm the reason it's an anonymous program. So, yeah, because people, nobody would have looked at me after 5 years and said, boy, I want some of that. I call myself a walking scab. Oh. I was a scab, and a lot of things picked at it, and it came out through my comedy and in a lot of angry ways. And then when Christ captured my heart, and just I realized I can't deny this anymore, and I said, I'm yours. I belong to you. This peace that washed over me, that's the only thing I can explain to people. I said, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what it, you know. It's like the blind man in the Bible, you know. I was blind and now I see. And they go, well, what'd he do? Did he do some hocus pocus? Did he go, you know, he goes, I don't know. I really don't know. I just know I was blind and now I see. And all of a sudden, everything just shifted from a different worldview. So it was a different point of view. And I was just, I smiled a lot more, you know. Mm-hmm. And the material didn't really change much, because people ask, what kind of change? I go, I was already working, trying to work clean, just because of the problems I had with my son at school and the language. So by the time I hit 40 and said, I'm yours, I decided to see if I was in Vegas when 9/11 hit. And I said to my manager, who's Jewish, I said, do you think churches would hire me? And he goes, you're asking me, what do I know? We literally were the blind leading the blind, mm-hmm. into the, you know. So I came out of all these nightclubs and casinos, and I tell pastors, I'm ready to work your church. And they weren't all that thrilled, you know. My first year, I did one church. Some brave soul in Pennsylvania hired me to come in and do comedy. And it's been a wonderful. And then Dry Bar 5 years ago changed mm-hmm. my life. It really did. It introduced me to tens of millions of people who didn't know I existed. The internet's an amazing thing.
Could you, before we wrap up with you, Jeff, could you mention what Dry Bar is for the audience?
It's a comedy platform, an app you can go on, or you can just Google it. They have YouTube. They have a YouTube channel as well. It's the largest video library of stand-up comedy in the world right now. And I think, don't quote me on this, but 100, 150 million people worldwide. I mean, I get emails and I get comments from people over in Europe all the time. And when you're coming over, you know, to Sweden, you know, mm-hmm. well, you know, if it's just you, probably not anytime soon. If you could figure out how to get 1,000 people out, you know, that would be great. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, that's it. Adam Carolla, of all people, was interviewing Jordan Harmon, the CEO of Angel Studios, who puts on Dry Bar. And he says, so what do you guys got, you know, other than movies? He goes, well, we got Dry Bar. And he goes, what's that? And he goes, tells him it's $150 million. And Carolla turns around and says, all right, I need to do a Dry Bar. And they go, well, you got to be clean. And he goes, oh, I think I can swing that. Anyway, he just taped his first Dry Bar.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Yeah. Encourage people to check.
Anyway, they can go and look up hundreds and hundreds of comedy. It's all clean. It's family-oriented. You can sit with your kids and watch it all. And some's good, some's not. You know, I mean, it's again, comedy's subjective. So
yeah.
It's a nice library.
You're going to hear Jeff Allen in town here. Go to jeffallencomedy.com to get a preview of that, jeffallencomedy.com. And Jeff, when safe travels getting here, enjoy yourself. We're going to make sure that we got a great crowd for you to cheer you on and laugh and just really listen and have some fun.
Night. Yeah. And I always tell people it's much better live. If you enjoy, even like what you see online, it's 10 times better live. I'm a much better performer live. So
we cannot wait. And we're going to give you a good crowd, man. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeff. Have a great day.
All right. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Man, that was great. Jeff is amazing. A wonderful time with him. Just really appreciate how honest and brave he is with his comedy. JeffAllenComedy.com is the website to check out, everybody. I have two people who are also very good at what they do with me right now. Sally Kistner, Executive Director of the Arts Council, and Ann Lepek from ODC. And as much as I love seeing you, Ann, I'm not... Why are the ODC here? Am I combining interviews, Sally? Is that what we're doing? Oh, no, Ann's here for a much very good reason.
She is. When I heard Jeff Allen's story of sobriety... for 38 years, and his passion that he has for programs that for recovery. We did some research, and we found that Opportunity for Hope, which is associated with ODC, was this type of program. So we decided to do a fundraiser, and $3 of every ticket sold for this show will be donated, as well as a separate tab for donations if you'd like to donate in addition to the $3. So I'll turn it over to Ann to explain a little about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally. And Ann, thanks for being here.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. It's always great to be here. And I know, James, you and I have talked quite a bit about Opportunity for Hope, which is our mental health clinic outpatient mental health clinic that was started here in Wisconsin Rapids back in 2019. And as we know, just the need for mental health services has just exploded. And so we're really thrilled to have the opportunity to be able to provide some mental health services to our community, to our local schools, and really be able to be that resource kind of in the central Wisconsin area. So we're really excited. And when Sally called and said, hey, we'd like to do this, What a great opportunity, and I'm looking forward to meeting Jeff as well and hearing more about his story.
Ann, would you mind giving a bit of a synopsis of what Opportunity for Hope is in case anybody out there may be unfamiliar with it?
Sure. So Opportunity for Hope is an outpatient mental health clinic. I know a lot of people originally feel like because it's located within ODC, that they feel that it's for people that are just participating in ODC, but that is not the case. It's actually open to the public. So anybody seeking mental health therapy and counseling, it's open to anyone in the community. I think what's real unique about what we are offering is that we do offer sliding fee scale and also accept Medicare and Medicaid along with additional commercial insurances. And so really our goal is to be accessible for everybody in the community to have the opportunity to get some mental health services if they need it.
And we'll tell you how you can find out more before we wrap up. Thank you for that, Ann. Appreciate it. And always good to have you here with us. Sally, I think a lot of us see what you're seeing with this. When you saw the connection of the Opportunity for Hope and Jeff's story and putting these worlds together, I think a lot of people can relate to this. I talked to Jeff off air a little about what. I'm no comedian, but I remember finding out really early in life that comedy, that laughter is the greatest medicine there is. And it's not just for the body, but for the mind that this is. And trying to make my mom and dad laugh, they were my first audience. And trying to just entertain them. And Jeff has a similar story. And there's a lot of people out there that can relate to that. But it also speaks to, I think, one of the ways that we get stronger as a world, stronger as everything from a community to a country to a world, where we're a little more open about these things. We're talking about them more. And what is a great way to do that? Comedy. Making people laugh. Taking things a little light on such a heavy topic. It's something that I think we as human beings are mastering more and more as we go along. And mental health is really helping us with this. It's a really perfect combination, I think. And a great opportunity, hopefully, while this is, we're going to have a great time. We're going to laugh. We're going to enjoy ourselves. All those things. one of the things that I hope comes from this, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, is the conversations that can come up afterwards or anything about sharing, you know, I relate to what he was saying here, and maybe you haven't talked about it before, but this gives you the opening to be able to talk about it.
I'd also like to mention, Jeff referred to his book, Are We There Yet? I started it this weekend, and I'm about halfway through, and I highly recommend it. It's so cool to get a flavor of what the person is like before you meet them or see them performing, and it's an awesome book.
And just really quickly, did also want to mention, as we're going to get into the details, how you can get tickets and everything. This is the name of the tour. They changed it a little bit. The Human Condition, We're Still Not There Yet. Great job by them, by the way. That's a great name. But just in case you see your tickets a little different or anything like that, that there's just a slight change to it. Still the same show, just a bit of a different name. And Sally, for people that want to get tickets and want to find out more, how can they do that?
Tickets are $47 for adults and $10 for students, as usual, and you can obtain them through the Arts Council, savorthearts.com 24/7, or come and see us at 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Our office hours are 10 to 2:30 Monday through Thursday, or give us a call, 715-424-2787.
And keep in mind that $3 from each adult ticket purchase for Jeff, this show will be donated to Opportunity for Hope. And thank you again for that and doing this, and to you and to everybody out there doing this. And if people want to find out more, just send them to the website. Should we, odcinc.com?
Yep, that's correct. Just go to odcinc.com and check out our services, and you'll see there's a mental health services tab, and all the information will be there that you need.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. Again, odcinc.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Jeff Allen's website, jeffallencomedy.com, jeffallencomedy.com. Be sure to check that out as well. And of course, our friends at Savor the Arts not only have this great show coming up, but a couple of more shows before the end of the year. Get your tickets for those. We'll be talking to Sally more about those as they get closer. But savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. Be sure to check that out. Both of you, great show, great way to kick off our week here at midday. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you, everybody, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.